I'm a bit nervous, actually. I think Andy's talked me up a little bit. So I hope it goes okay. And I'm also actually really pleased that I answered the Luke Skywalker question correctly. I would have been very embarrassed myself if I couldn't answer that one. Just before I start, too, I just want to acknowledge kind of a sense of loss, I guess, is the way to describe it. I don't know how many times I've been here, stood up in front of you and spoken, and sitting out there has always been Sid. And of course, he's not here today. And I just want to acknowledge Sela in this time. I know it must be difficult, but I just wanted to say to you, I'm really missing Sid too. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can share in your word together in peace. And may these words be helpful. Amen. My sermon today is about forgiving yourself or making mistakes and forgiving yourself. I'm sure you've picked up on that theme. How many of you beat yourselves up over mistakes that you've made? I can honestly say that that's a flaw in my own character. I've struggled with that for a long time. When I wrote this, actually, I was reflecting upon an issue I had with a parent at our school. Without going into too much detail, she was really angry because I refused to let her child take part in some after-school sports. Let's just say that this child's behaviour is really unpredictable, and sometimes his frustrations are vented on others physically and verbally. I was concerned for the other students and adults who'd have to deal with him. I spent 20 minutes on the phone with this parent, listening to her monologue of how terrible a person I was, and I wasn't able to get a single word in. And the only way I could finish the phone call was to say, I'm going to have to hang up. And I did. And I spent the rest of that evening, the afternoon and evening, even in the wee small hours of the next morning, pondering how I could have handled it a lot better. In effect, I was blaming myself for her behaviour, which is absurd to think about it, to say the least, but that's what I think lots of us do. I should have listened to my son, Millen. You know, teenagers can be very wise sometimes. They see the world with a clarity that adults with all their hang-ups can't. I was telling him about how annoyed I was with myself for the way I dealt with this parent, and he said, did you make the right decision? Should that kid be able to play? And my answer was, no, it's not fair on the other kids. And his reply was, well, what are you worried about then? How many of you work with people? You know, you might be in health, education, hospitality. I don't know what it is, but some people seem to be just so much more irrational and wanting to shift the blame for their behaviour onto someone or something else these days. In reality, there's no solace in that, though, because refusing to accept responsibility for your own actions is a sin in itself. And more importantly, it's actually only God who can forgive our sins. If we're not awake to that, then we're not awake to salvation. When I was researching this sermon, I came across a statement from a writer that initially I found quite confronting, but after pondering about it for a while, I could see his point. He said, the concept of forgiving yourself is an impossible, narcissistic burden spawning from a purely self-centered worldview. The act of self-forgiveness is found nowhere in the Bible and stems from modern psychology. The idea is ludicrous and does far more harm than good. You know, I'd thought of forgiving yourself as being kind of kind to yourself and I guess godly because, you know, we're all called to forgive others. We all know this kind of message from Matthew 6. If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. That's certainly what Jesus modeled to us. God wants us to have a forgiving heart because that draws us closer to him. And what he wants for us And what he wants for us, but is the truth that we don't actually have the authority to truly and wholly forgive others. But that's God's responsibility and his alone. You know, we can work really hard so the actions of others towards us don't make us bitter and twisted, but in the end, it's only God who can forgive them for their sins. Often when we do something wrong, whether deliberate or accidental, we're racked with guilt and unable to process the shame that comes with it. We go over and over it in our minds, wishing we could have done it differently. And that's something I do all the time. I know it's the curse of being a perfectionist. The truth is, the only way to deal with the shame is to own the mistake, to bring your wrongdoing into the light. King Solomon in Proverbs 28 said, "You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, then God will show mercy to you." Now, if we circle back to blaming others, one of the reasons I think we try to shift the responsibilities of our mistakes and wrongdoings to others is to hide our sins. Yet, when we own our mistakes, through God, we can be set free from them. Ephesians 4:25-32 gives some really practical, useful advice. "No more lying then. Each of you must tell the truth to one another because we are all members together in the body of Christ. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin, and do not stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a chance. Those who used to rob, stop robbing and start working in order to earn an honest living for themselves and be able to help the poor. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. And do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Holy Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ." It seems so simple. Forgive others because God has forgiven you, but that's where many of us struggle. Sometimes we don't feel worthy of forgiveness ourselves, especially when we've really messed up. Yet God loves us and forgives us unconditionally. The concept of unconditional love is so fundamental to the Christian faith. We can accept that God loves us in this way, yet it's so difficult to put into practice towards others. For humans, everything is conditional. We all see the world through our own filters. No matter how godly we might think we are, none of us are even remotely perfect in this way. And thank goodness we don't have to be. For me, when I think about forgiving yourself, I see it more in the sense of giving yourself permission to make mistakes and learn from them. I guess it's more about learning to love yourself rather than forgiving yourself. There are probably two kinds of ways of loving yourself. One is where you're conceited and arrogant, thinking you're better than everyone else. That's perhaps where the writer I talked about earlier was coming from. But there's also loving yourself in a way of being thankful for all that God has made. We're not always so good at being thankful, and that's where many of us come unstuck. When we forget to be thankful, we put our own needs and wants ahead of others, and that's where we make mistakes and then start to beat ourselves up for them. It's a cycle that can only be broken by faith and the knowledge that God has forgiven our sins. We often think of mistakes so often in the negative sense, but they can be powerful tools for moving us closer to God. Now, there are three things I want to touch upon about making mistakes. Firstly, they have the power to turn you into something better than you were before. Think of it in this way: mistakes do not define you, they refine you. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose." So even when we make a mistake, there is a purpose in that if we learn from it and work to be closer to God. When I was 8 or 9, I told my friends I could jump off a ledge on our driveway with my bike. They didn't believe me, probably for good reason. But I wanted them to think I was really brave. And when they left, I felt so guilty about it that I thought I'd give it a go. I didn't make the jump at all, and I crashed spectacularly. I scratched the paint on my bike, bent a rim, and ripped my shirt. I learnt that I was hopeless at doing jumps on my bike, and that when you lie, one way or another, you always get found out. I guess I became a slightly better person than before after that. Secondly, mistakes are meant for learning, not repeating. Proverbs 8:26 puts it quite bluntly. A fool can do some stupid thing a second time, like a dog going back to its vomit. I think that's quite gross, but anyway. And I've seen that. Dogs do that. Why do they do that? Sometimes it takes a couple of goes before you learn from a mistake. I remember once my son Millen was helping me to do some gardening when he was about 4 years old. He'd been using a rake, and he left it on the ground lying up the wrong way. Of course, he stepped on it, and it flipped up and whacked him on the head. And he was crying, and I said, and I asked him what he did. So he showed me. He said, "I did this, Dad," and whack again. And he earned 2 nasty bruises on his forehead. He did learn from this mistake, though, and he never helped me in the garden again. Finally, life's greatest lessons are usually learnt from the worst times and dumbest mistakes. A long time ago, it was actually a long time ago now I think about it, I was in the Mikitahi Sea Scouts. In the summer, we would go sailing in the harbour by Ngamotu Beach on Monday nights. And one night, it was particularly dicey with the weather. It was raining, the sea was rough, and the wind was blowing offshore. It's never good when you're sailing. It was probably irresponsible of the leaders, but in their wisdom, they sent the least experienced boys out sailing, and I was in the patrol boat. It was my job, along with another boy, to motor around and keep an eye on everyone. In hindsight, I should have been sailing. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I knew what our boats could do, and I'd sailed in such conditions many times before. The boys who went out were not so good, and I was actually really worried. I was trying to look after the 6 boys. I was trying to look after 6 boys in 3 different boats. The conditions got even worse as the night wore on, and at one stage, all 3 boats capsized. One was in close by the yacht club, and they got swamped and got back up again, but managed to limp back into shore on their own. So that was all right. The other 2 were well out into the harbour. I don't know why they were way so far out, but they were. They got one boat back up, but then it sped uncontrollably towards the main breakwater, and they ended up stranded on the rocks. In the other boat, they were upside down, right out in the open in the of the harbour, and they were drifting towards Australia. I raced over to them and tried to help them up. And they got back up, but only one boy managed to get into the boat and the other was drifting rapidly out to sea in really rough conditions. It was amazing how quickly the distance opened up between him and the boat. And I can't say why, but I made the split-second decision to leave these boys and head over to the boat that was already on the rocks to check to see if they were okay. They were actually safe and couldn't come to much more harm. The boat wasn't so safe, but that's another story. Halfway over there, I realised my mistake, and I turned around and tried to find the other boy in the water. It very quickly became evident to me that he couldn't be seen. It was getting dark, and he was just a little speck on between a large, rolling 3-metre swell out beyond the harbour. He was actually outside the harbour at this stage. At the time, it seemed like forever, but it was probably only a few minutes. and I spotted him at the top of a wave and I lurched towards him full throttle, madly dashing over waves but too scared not to keep my eyes on him. And when we got there, I'll never forget the look of terror in his eyes. The hard lesson I learnt was that the person in the boat is always much safer than the one in the water. And the story could have had a much worse ending, but you know, whether it was divine intervention or not, I'm truly grateful it worked out okay. Big mistakes often make for big lessons. And I'm sure I've quoted this before, but I keep coming back to this verse, and it has served me really well throughout my life. From 1 Corinthians 10:13, every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise. He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you're put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. For sure, some of the tests that we come to are through no fault of our own. Bad things do happen to good people and all of that, but a lot of stuff takes place because of our own dumb mistakes. Thankfully, God is forgiving. So what have I learned about forgiving myself, yourself? I've learned that in reality, it's only the one true God who can truly forgive. Through Jesus, the debt in our sins has been paid in full and we're all forgiven. At the same time, though, loving yourself, if it's not done in a conceited, arrogant kind of way, is actually helpful because it means we give ourselves the opportunity to learn from our mistakes. I think of mistakes as God giving us lessons along the journey towards a better version of ourselves. Now, thanks for your time today. I hope something in what I've said might have helped. And if not, I'm sure you can forgive me.